When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, the global economy. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, a columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, to look at the moment at the Federal Reserve, the expectation of more interest rate reductions this year, question mark. Liz, a very good evening to you. The interest rates in 2024 were considered restrictive, and there was loosening by the Federal Reserve. We begin this year, however, with the question mark over the American economy doing very well, especially in comparison to our rivals and allies. And also the whole understanding of the Trump administration is to make money, hence the emphasis on energy, the emphasis on technology, the emphasis on build and they will come. So the Federal Reserve, I've lost track of where they are on their data. They let the data tell them. Good evening to you, Liz. What's the data telling Mr. Powell?
Good evening, John. Well, we'll know soon enough because, in fact, they're meeting today and we'll hear from Jay Powell tomorrow. The expectation is there will not be any interest rate cut at this meeting. And, in fact, conviction about interest rate cuts over the course of this year is declining because I think it's pretty clear that inflation is kind of stuck in this 2.5-3% range, which really does not argue for cutting rates. At the same time, the economy, to your point earlier, is doing very well, and there are very few signs of labor market weakness. So you either have to have really strong signals that inflation is under control, or you have to have unemployment claims begin to really rise. They've ticked up, but very modestly, or wages begin to soften in terms of renegotiated wages and so forth. That just isn't happening. I mean, right now, we're sort of at a holding pattern, and I think that's kind of what's guiding the Fed. You know, you look back over the last 6 months to a year, and a lot of people have questioned, and you and I have discussed, whether or not it made sense for Jay Powell to be cutting rates last fall when, after all, the inflation data still was not convincing. And again, there was not any sign of labor market turmoil that you really could use to argue for lower rates. So why did he do it? I'll leave that to everyone else to figure out. But the answer is right now, I don't think he is inclined to do that. We'll see what he has to say. But, you know, make no mistake, there are sectors of the economy that really do need lower interest rates. And obviously, housing is number one. Mortgage rates are still around 7%. The housing market is not in great shape. People actually want to buy houses, but prices are high, interest rates are high, and there really just hasn't been any kind of resettling of what's kind of a considerable logjam in that industry. So, you know, it'd be great to see lower interest rates. Obviously, Donald Trump wants them. As a developer, he always wants lower interest rates. But I think, you know, we'll see what happens. If the Fed begins to accept inflation is going to be 2.5 to 3%, most recently 2.9%, and that's just what we're going to live with. Maybe you'll see rates start to come down as testament, really not that that's so much acceptable, but that actually these increased interest rates haven't really changed the arc. I mean, one of the things obviously right now everyone's talking about is the price of eggs. Well, guess what? Interest rates isn't going to make the problem with bird flu any better. That's not going to impact the price of eggs. And so I think we're just sort of in a holding pattern. There's not really much argument for movement one way or the other. Every now and then you hear somebody say, well, maybe they should put interest rates up because, again, inflation's a little challenging. I don't think that's going to happen.
The argument during the Biden administration, which was here 10 minutes ago, was that the inflation was a product of the extravagant spending by the federal government. That argument was not settled under Mr. Biden. Is that argument settled under Mr. Trump, that the spending was the driver?
I think absolutely. For one thing, it is undoubtedly the case that an $8 trillion jump in our national debt under Joe Biden was simply an outrage. I mean, it didn't have to happen. The Biden administration took extraordinary spending levels to even more extraordinary levels. They had been pushed up because of COVID and the need to keep the economy afloat. That they continued at that level is really something that they never admitted contributed to inflation. But Larry Summers admitted it. Jason Furman admitted it. Everyone, an economist who looks at what happened to federal spending under Joe Biden and concludes that that had nothing to do with inflation, is simply pretending. That just isn't true. So, yes, I think that part of this impulse to cut spending, whether it's through DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, or through budget measures, is incredibly important. What Trump is talking about, of course, is less money coming in from income taxes and more from tariffs and other outside sources. Whether, you know, how that's going to work out, we don't know, because I think the Trump administration is aware that, yes, tariffs are a great negotiating tool, but can that really be a reliable source of income? And won't that, in fact, drive prices higher for some goods? That all has to be ironed out. You know, the big thing, obviously, right now, well, DOGE, I think, is a big thing, and the House is formed a committee to help Elon Musk's effort there to root out federal waste and fraud. And I got to tell you, John, I was looking at some numbers this morning, and the numbers of government waste and excess and, you know, spending almost $500 billion a year on programs that were canceled 10 years ago or that have expired. It's a staggering concept that so much money is being thrown out the window. So I'm really optimistic that there will be some reining in of federal excesses through this efficiency push and the drive to root out simple waste. But it's got to go beyond that. And I think everybody knows that. So there's going to be a pretty monster fight over the reconciliation bill or bills that come out that will incorporate an extension of the 2017 tax cuts, but also have to include campaign promises of no taxes on tips, for example, and a big push by blue state Republicans, such as there are, to reinstate or to increase the cap on SALT deductions, the state and local tax deductions. So there's going to be some pretty bruising arguments about tax policy, but the overall thrust under a President Trump is going to be for lower taxes. So that is going to have to be offset by either lower spending or increased tariffs or some other source of revenue, because as you know, the reconciliation process demands it be budget neutral. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on. And I think the Fed is probably watching all that pretty warily to figure out how it can impact monetary policy. But right now, frankly, monetary policy doesn't seem as important as what might happen on the fiscal side.
Inflation is a word that is now used to scare the public over the Republican administration. However, the inflation that I'm reading about all the time is every time the word tariffs come up, a major economist starts screaming, that it could lead to inflation. But that's why I asked about government spending, because that was the driver then, is the driver now, correct? It hasn't gone away. I didn't hear
that. That's right.
I didn't hear these esteemed economists coming forward mentioning that trillions of dollars flooded into the American marketplace is going to drive inflation to 9% in the summer of 22. Did they say that and I missed it, Liz?
Again, a few did. Larry Summers warned about it. Jason Furman acknowledged that there was too much federal money going into the pot. I'll tell you who never did say anything about it was Janet Yellen. And frankly, Jay Powell. I mean, Jay Powell, you know, could have been a voice for sanity. Early on, he wanted more fiscal stimulus because he worried that monetary moves all by themselves weren't going to really be able to offset the decline in the economy due to COVID. But he could have stood up and voiced his concerns about too much spending, because let's face it, the onus fell on the Fed to do something about inflation. And the federal government, the Biden government, just sort of walked away washing their hands of the whole thing. Janet Yellen's performance, to my mind, honestly, it sort of singles her out as one of the worst Treasury secretaries ever. I could give you other case in point of things where I think she fell short. But in this case, she really did. And they continually blamed inflation on elsewhere. As to tariffs, John, what the Trump people will tell you is, yeah, tariffs can inflate prices in some instances. But the whole point of tariffs is to bring manufacturing home, to have producers move their production elsewhere to avoid those tariffs, and thereby the effect is somewhat short-lived. They will also point out that during the first term under President Trump, tariffs went into effect, and people yelled about the driver, them being a driver of costs then too, but in fact there was no inflation. There was literally no inflation. So I think it depends on how they're used. Wilbur Ross always maintained that tariffs on China really don't have a commensurate impact on price, because the Chinese government, which is subsidizing a lot of Chinese production and pricing, basically ends up eating some of that tariff. And I think that's what happened in the first term.
Elizabeth Peake is a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. I'm John Batchelor.